We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and I invite you to look in your notes or in your Bibles at Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 31. A number of verses, but they seem to fit together in a unit, and I want to look at them, some of them very briefly, not trying to look at every jot and tittle in every verse. That can get pretty laborious, and sometimes you can lose your train of thought. I don't want to say it's dull, because I don't consider it dull, but you can lose your train of thought getting into too much nitty-gritty sometimes. But let's read Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only, or is he also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which justifieth the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. We need to realize the fact that Paul is trying to show us without a doubt that it is essential for us to be just in order to live by faith. And if we're not just, we sure can't live by faith. And if we can't live by faith, then we're going to be chargeable to God because we have done that which is our duty to do. And what is the charge? If you've only done that which is your duty to do, you're an unprofitable servant. I sure don't want to hear that from my Lord. You're just unprofitable. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord." And we all need to be encouraged to go beyond just being obedient. And so Paul says, "We establish the law." Now, some people may say that the law here is the law of faith. But the law of faith includes the just shall live by faith. Now we're talking about the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the righteousness that one has when he is living a life that is pleasing to God. He is living by faith. And in verse 22 again, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness of God is for those that are believing in the present tense. This word believe is a present active participle. And he's talking about all them that believe. And I want you to associate the fact that the word all them is included in this verse, because we're going to find it in a verse that follows. We're talking about the same group of people. We're talking about saved people, not lost people getting saved. The righteousness of God is a message to saved people, to encourage them to be faithful to God by believing in the present tense. Believing in the present tense is simply trusting Him, just like I experienced this week. I had to go through something I wouldn't want to go through again. And I wouldn't want any of you to go through it again, or go through it at all. That is, having to go to the hospital and be tested for gallbladder and gallstones. It wasn't any fun. And, you know, and I didn't know why the Lord was allowing me to enjoy this or have this. So what I was constantly praying was, Abba, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I was submitting to the will of the Father in my life, what He is allowing. And I think about Job 40 in verse 8. The Lord asked Job a question, and you know what? He asked me the same question. He's asking you the same question. Will you annul my judgments? Will you condemn me that you might be righteous, Job? And you know, both of those questions deserve a negative answer. Job isn't going to condemn the Lord for the choices that God is making for Job. Job was hurting. And Job needed to submit to the hurt. And he did a pretty good job. And Job didn't condemn him. I just think of the passage of Scripture in Psalms 147. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. You know what? I've got to believe that and live like that. And that's part of believing in the present tense. Whatever events happen in my life, I need to submit to them and trust God to bring me through them and to sustain me with His grace until the test pass. Okay? Now, the righteousness of God is for them that believe in the present tense. And for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentiles, which he has been talking about in chapters 1 and 2 as well as 3. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The message of the righteousness of God is not to the lost, but to the believing, and those that are faithful in believing. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein what? The gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see very clearly, or we should see very clearly, that the gospel of Christ contains the message of the righteousness of God, and that message is for faithful children of God who are seeking to do the will of the Father and not just simply get by. There's plenty of Christians that are just want to get by. They got fire insurance and that's all they want. And may the Lord have mercy on them. Now, one of the things that we need to appreciate is this. The present tense of the verb believe can cease. You can stop doing that. You can stop being a good and faithful servant. And you need to know that. So, it's not based on your salvation when you believe in the aorist tense. This is based upon the believe in the present tense, and it has to do with faithfulness. And you can stop being faithful. All of us have. I have quit being faithful in my life at times, and the Lord allowed me to be brought back. And we have all experienced that. So in Luke 8:13, and I'm just giving you this verse so you can see, and this is the only place that I know of where it shows you that belief can be stopped. They on the rock are they which when they hear, that is the word of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in the present tense, present active, and in the time of temptation or testing or trial, they fall away. And by the way, this word fall away is also in the present tense. Falling away just doesn't happen like that. Events in your life that you don't want to handle and you start accusing God of being against you is a process. And as you begin to deal with what you think God is unjustly doing to you, you are in the process of continuing to fall away and fall away and fall away. And the next thing you know, you're not pleasing God anymore. And you're not treading water in working. So, anyway, you can stop believing in the present tense. Then Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned." Who is this word "all" a reference to? It's all the ones believing in the present tense. We're talking about saved people, not lost people. This is a verse of Scripture that they used in the Roman road. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, that's true. That's what that verse is saying. But you know what that verse is? Who that verse is addressing? It's addressing believers who are believing in the present tense, and all of us have done things to keep us from entering into the hope of glory. That's what this verse is talking about. Falling short of the glory of God is not losing your salvation. Falling short of the glory of God is the nation of Israel not entering the land flowing with milk and honey. Because we know that the land flowing with milk and honey is the glory of the land. You find that in Ezekiel chapter 20. So we're falling short of the glory means if you do, you won't be ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Because that's where the glory is really going to be. So He's saying all have sinned and come short. And by the way, the word "come short" is in the present middle. The present tense means it's continuous action, coming short. And the middle voice means it's because I want to. That's what the middle voice is saying. I'm falling short because I want to. But you know what? I can change my thinking. And I can change my attitude. I don't want to fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 tells us what we need. "By whom," that is Christ Jesus, "also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." I can change my mind about falling short by what? By coming to the throne of grace by faith to get His grace that I might rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is a hope. And hope in the Scriptures can be forfeited or missed. In 1 Peter 1, verse 21, "Who by Him do believe," present active. And the TR means the Textus Receptus has this present active participle in it. "Who by Him," that is Christ Jesus, our High Priest, "do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Was Jesus Christ faithful? Absolutely, He was faithful. Jesus Christ did not live by faith like we do. He'd been to heaven. He was God manifest in the flesh. And when it talks about the faith of Christ, it's faith that we get from Him as our High Priest. And you'll read that. You'll see that when you're reading through the New Testament. But anyway, Jesus Christ was faithful. "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." You think that sounds like believe in the present tense? Absolutely. And God raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. And because He did it for Jesus Christ, and if I emulate or if I, not emulate, but if I practice what Jesus Christ did, God's going to raise me from the dead and let me rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Justification is not an event. Most people think of justification as an event, and it happens when you're saved. And they talk about just as if you've never sinned. And that's not true. because we just got through reading, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's a reference to the ones believing, ones who are saved. But this passage of Scripture says, being justified, present passive participle. The passive voice tells me that God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I am passive when He comes to His work. He's working on me, you know. Don't give up on me. He's still working on me, you know. I don't think I got the words of the song right, but I got the idea right. He is working on me. He's working on you. And we don't want to resist Him working on me to both to will and then the strength and the grace to do what He wants me to do. Now, being justified freely by His grace, it takes the power of Christ for justification. It takes His grace. And the word freely means to be given without return or recompense. In other words, we don't the grace that God gives us, we don't have to pay for it. We have to go to the throne of grace by faith to get it. But we don't have to shell out any shekels to get it. We just have to go there and believe it's there for us, and it will be provided. And it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whenever you read or see the word redemption, this is not a reference to being born from above. Redemption is a family matter, and it has to do with our inheritance. We need to, when we are falling away, we're under the influence of Satan. We're under the influence of the world. We're under the influence of the flesh. And we can serve the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can do that. And so therefore, when it speaks about redemption, it's talking about the Lord buying us out of the bondage of whom? The world, or the flesh, or the devil. Because when we are serving the world, the flesh, and the devil, God's not going to give us grace, His power, to do that. Is He? He's not going to give me His grace to honor the devil or honor the world. What the world esteems highly is an abomination unto the Lord. You think God's going to give me a grace to highly esteem what the world esteems? No. And so when we see the word redemption, and notice that this redemption doesn't take place outside the body of Christ, you see the little preposition in Christ? Redemption takes place where? In the family, in the body. Redemption doesn't take you out of the, where you're outside the body, and put you in the body. Redemption takes place in the body, and if you're in the body of Christ, then you're a child of God. So keep that in mind, that we're being justified, we're want to stand approved in His presence. And so therefore, He takes us out of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and their bondage, so we can serve Him and we can stand in His presence, approved, and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Notice that we are His servant, not the servant of the world, not the servant of the devil, not the servant of the flesh. Now, grace is a must. Hebrews 4:16, let us come, present middle, subjunctive, boldly under the throne of grace. Who am I coming to the throne of grace for? Me. That's the middle voice. I'm coming because I need to be there. And I'm doing it boldly because I've been invited under the throne of grace. Throne means authority. Throne of grace means grace is to have authority. Where? In my heart, in my life, in my thoughts. That we may obtain mercy. You got to have mercy. You got to be delivered. You got to be released from bondage before He's going to give you His grace. That means confession of sin, repentance, and then we're going to find grace to help in time of need. And by the way, this word grace or find is subjunctive. We may get or obtain grace, or we may not. I believe it's dependent upon whether we obtain mercy. It has to do with confession. If you're just swinging by for as they were giving out a Wendy's free Frosties, trying to get the business back. And if you're just swinging by to pick up a cup of grace, forget it. You need to be asking for mercy and forgiveness. Now, to continue the thought about grace as our justification being a continuing process, in Acts chapter 13, verse 39, "And in Him," it's not by Him, "in Him all that believe," he's referring to all the ones believing in the present tense that are in Him, "are being justified," present passive. You got to be in Christ before you can be justified. "From all things," which he could not, "be justified by the law of Moses." I believe this is the moral law, and you cannot be justified only by keeping the law, by keeping the law only. Justification requires going the extra mile, and that is trusting God in every event, in every circumstance in your life. Then in Galatians chapter 2, 16, "Knowing that a man is not," emphatic, "not justified," present passive, it's a continuing process, I'm trying to show you that it's a continuing process, "by the works," that is obedience to the moral law, that is being just, in other words, you are not going to be justified by the works of the law only, but through the faith, not of Jesus Christ, but from Jesus Christ. This is in the genitive. I don't see Jesus Christ needing faith, because he was in heaven and he is back there, and if you go to heaven, if you've been to heaven, you can't live by faith, because it's those that haven't seen yet believing in the present tense, whom having not seen you believe. Okay, but it's faith from Christ. He is the one who provides me with confidence in Him. Now, He is our high priest. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Aorist tense. That's salvation. Paul says, even we have gotten saved. Why? In order that we might be justified by faith. You see what comes before justification by faith? Salvation. You got to be in the family. You got to be in Christ before the process of justification begins. "And not by the works of the law or the moral law only, for by the works of the law or the moral law only shall no flesh be justified." Okay? It's by faith and works of the law. Galatians 3:11, "By faith we're being justified, but that no man is justified," present passive, "by the law," that is, by keeping the law only, "in the sight of God, it is evident." Why? Because the just, those who obey the moral law, do what? They shall live by faith. Future middle. And it's out from faith. Not by faith, but it's out from the results of faith. Now, I just want to emphasize one thing about being just. The just practice righteousness. 1 Corinthians 3:7, "He that doeth righteousness," present active, that's practicing, "righteousness is just." You're practicing right living, you're prepared to live by faith. Okay? And just remember this, no faith, no grace. Romans 5:4, "Christ is become no effect unto you, whosoever are of you are justified by the law, that is the moral law only, ye are fallen from grace. When you fall from grace, you have stopped living by faith. Because it takes faith to access the grace. And so when you fall from grace by trying to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, by just being a good boy or girl, you're falling from grace and you're not pleasing God. Okay? Now, just remember this, we can depart from the faith. Now I'm going to skip down to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. This verse is a very difficult verse to chew. And the word whom is a reference to Romans 3:24 24, our Redeemer. Christ is our Redeemer. He is the one who is delivering us from the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has set forth to be, and the word to be is in italics. And He has set forth a propitiation. And the word propitiation is translated in Hebrews 9:5 as mercy seat. Our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, is a mercy seat. That's where the blood is applied. It's upon the mercy seat. And what is the mercy seat for? Where God has mercy upon His people. He has mercy upon us. And by having mercy upon us, He is able to give us grace whereby we can serve Him in an acceptable manner. And it's through faith in His blood. Now, I'm going to skip over that little phrase and work on that next Sunday. What is the significance of having faith in His blood? It's significant. And I think we need to look at it in one Sunday rather than trying to fit it in this morning. And Christ is our mercy seat, and God is declaring Christ's righteousness for the remission of sins. This word remission is not the same word remission that we are used to. This word remission is not only found one place in the New Testament, and that's right here. And it's not found in the Septuagint at all. So the Septuagint won't help you. And what this seems to mean is that of passing over sins. I rejoice in the fact that God doesn't nail us on every sin. You know that? If He nailed us on every sin we did, I always say we wouldn't have a Chinaman's chance. But Chinamen have more chances now than they used to. But back when I was a boy, they didn't have a chance. Anyway, if He nails us on every sin, particularly the ones that are past, because I've gotten them, and I'm sure you have too, and it's for the by the forbearance of God. This forbearance is found in other places, particularly in Romans 2 and verse 4. But anyway, it has to do with His goodness. God is passing over things for us. You know why? He is for us. He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want us to be defeated. And there's a passage of Scripture in Isaiah. It says, the Lord will not contend forever, for the soul would fail which He hath made. We can become discouraged and defeated if God is nailing us all the time and He is busting us all the time. And he's not going to do that. He wants us to succeed. And so therefore, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, we should not despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee, that is, save sinners, to change. He wants us to change. And so therefore, when I read Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Isn't that an encouraging verse? That's an encouraging verse to me. He pardoneth iniquity and passes by transgressions, a transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He is a merciful God. Psalms 103:10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he had, or if he does, we are not going to make it. We're not going to make it. So God is just in mercy. And then Romans 3:26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. He is just in passing over some of our sins. There are some sins, like the sin of lawlessness, he will not pass over that. That really gets to God. When we are lawless, when we do that which is right in our own eyes because we have a right, we say we have a right to, that's not going to work with him. But Paul says, I declare at this time his righteousness. He is just, that he might be just and a justifier, present active participle, of him which believe, and that is out of faith, from Jesus Christ, or from Jesus. Then I just want to read verses 27 and following here in Romans, and I think you'll see how all of these thoughts fall into place. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. Works of the law only won't work, will not cut it. But by the law of faith, there is a law of faith that will help us to focus on the fact that the just live by faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. And we've already studied this word without. It means in addition to the deeds of the moral law. Without being obedient to the moral law, you cannot be just, and you cannot live by faith, and you cannot be justified in the sight of God. It's the law. We're being justified by faith in addition to the deeds of the law. Verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. There was a time when this was only offered to the nation of Israel. Now this blessing has been offered to both saved Jew and saved Gentile. He is God of both the Jew and the Gentile. And he will judge both the Jew and the Gentile. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which will justify the circumcision, that is, the Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcision, through faith, in other words, they both mean the same thing. He will justify both the saved Jew that's believing in the present tense and the saved Gentile that's believing in the present tense, so that both of them can hear a well done. And then verse 31, and this will close. Do we then make void the law through faith? No. It's not by faith only. You just read the second chapter of James. Was Abraham justified by faith alone? No, sir. It included works, obedience, and also doing, keeping himself clean. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And what must we do with the law? Use it lawfully. Use it lawfully. May God help us to be diligent and be faithful in trusting Him regardless of the circumstances in your life. You can believe that God is going to be faithful to you, and you'll either wind up well or coping with the ailment, or you'll wind up in His presence or asleep. Okay? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace, and we thank You, Father, for this opportunity to be encouraged through Your Word, to be faithful to You in being obedient to the law, as well as trusting You in all the circumstances in life that try and test us. Speak to our hearts and encourage us, Father, to be faithful to You. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.